Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Trending Mobile Technology, hosted proudly right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is episode 71. As always, I am your mobile host, Piper the DJ. Now, I haven't done this for a couple weeks, and I do apologize, but here we go. If you want to get a hold of me, real simple, PiperTheDJ@gmail.com. Look me up on Google+ for the same handle. Find me in my community at Piper's Tech Talk. That's the short answer. I am not on Facebook for personal reasons. I do very little on Twitter, although I do have a handle on Twitter. Also, Piper the DJ. Yep, it's my name. But, you know, if you want to get in contact with me, folks, you're more than welcome to. I'm open to any and all feedback. Welcome to the new listeners. I know that the numbers have been a little fluctuant recently, but there is one in particular that I want to welcome to listening to the show, and that is one of my doctors, actually professor, but his title is actually doctor, at school, and he knows who he is. I'm not going to disclose his last name, but I want to welcome him to the show. Now, as promised from last week, this is episode 71, and calling in from, well, it's not really Hotlanta, so it would be Frigidlanta, Jason Rivera, coming in from the CSTC Network. Jason, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, Piper, good to be here again for the second week in a row. And yeah, Atlanta is usually, it's one of the hotter cities in the United States. Right now, just like everywhere else, it is frozen, cold, chilly, in the tents. That's what it feels like wind shear wise. And I do get that information from my Android device, which I can look at any time. Boom, there's my weather report.
Gotta love it. I tell you what, I'm on Google now all the time getting weather. Just for the simple fact that I used to use Arcus as I still do on some occasions. Arcus, the weather app, for those who don't fully know, there's a free version, a paid version. Obviously, me being the tightwad that I am, I go for the paid version. But what it does is it taps all the various weather centers that are around you. Like we've got the National Weather Service, we've got a couple different TV studios locally that have weather radios and stuff like that. And this is supposed to get like up to 30 or 40 different weather reports and then tabulate all that port. And then for some odd reason, a couple of weeks ago, it started telling me that I was in the Bahamas. Now, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind being in the Bahamas because according to Arcus, in the Bahamas, on that particular day, it was in the 80s and sunny and pretty. So
I think your phone is trying to tell you to take a vacation that you're about due.
Yeah, well, you know, the difficulties of being a college kid, a dad, a student, hard worker, and all that kind of mess. You don't really get that amount of time. But I have found that Google Now is actually proving to be a better reliability, just for the simple fact that once that weather widget pops up, if I need more information, I can just tap on the card right there, and it will go ahead and give me a load of links, multiple links, as to which particular site I want to go from. And you know, there's weather.com, there's weatherchannel.com, and many other different things that you can go to cross-reference or get some more information concerning the weather. But, you know, and nonetheless, it is cold. I mean, I'm in Illinois, and we were in single digits for 2 days. I believe our high today was 11, which it was supposed to be like 37, but we only made it to like 11. So that was interesting on that part, because I was looking forward to see some of this white stuff melt. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting old or what, but you know, seeing some of those things move around would be interesting to me, and I'd actually like to see about 50, 60 degree weather in the next couple weeks, and get spring on its way, because it's been pretty frigid, I think. Wouldn't you agree, Jason?
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm ready for summer to get here. I'm ready to go out and enjoy myself a bit. Right now, it's just so cold. I'm like locked up in here like Anne Frank, hiding from Nazi Germany right now.
Anne Frank, oh man. Sorry to any Jews that might be out there in the world who might be tuning in. It's not that we're racially biased, but we do like to be frank. We like to be blunt, and we like to tell it like we see it, etc. And, you know, sometimes when you're on lockdown, it just, you feel like you're hiding from the those in authority, etc. And things like that would just, you know, trying to keep in from the cold, you know, it just makes things a little bit more cold. Brings a smile to your face, though, and if it helps you make it through the day, what can we argue from there? Now, Jason, you're coming back for the second week in a row, and I just want to say, folks out there, I'm trying to change things around a little bit with the way I do my show, okay? For one, guests, for the start of the year, because I came to this idea after I had already started booking guests, but I'm trying to get my guests on for 2 weeks in a row. Why? Because, well, just take Jason, for example. Last week, we talked about a lot of different things. All of it related to mobile in its own way, shape, or form, but it just seemed like, as I listened back to the show and I interacted with a couple other people, it seemed like there was some stuff that we just didn't quite get to. Also, okay, Jason came to me with a problem last week, and I didn't have an answer for it because I didn't have opportunity to fully research it. Well, some time went by, I was able to do some research, and I have a solution for Jason's problem from last week. We'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, folks that are out there, if you're interested in popping into my show, feel free to drop me an email, okay, pepperthedj@gmail.com. I'll take anybody and everybody. I've actually had a few people decline because they're like, quote, sorry, I'm not that smart when it comes to stuff like this. Okay, here's the bottom line. Here's the criteria. Here's what it takes to qualify to sit across the mic from Piper the DJ. Okay, you ready for this? Do you have a cell phone? Do you have a tablet? That's it, okay? If you utilize this technology, you have enough information to be able to sit across from me to talk some tech. Now, Jason, you know, you're an adopter. You have a Note 2. You said last week you don't have a tablet yet, you don't have a watch, but you do have a Note 2. Is that correct? You have a laptop as well. Is that correct?
Yep, a laptop, and I always stay abreast of it. I enjoy it. Look, phones, like we said, are a central part of life. If you have a phone, you can contribute to this show, because let's face it, we're all like this. Our phone, we don't leave home without it. It is attached to us at the hip basically all day, every day.
Exactly.
And if that's not experience, I don't know what is.
Well, the other thing is, this is about information. This entire show, the basis, I can't say the basis of it, but as of late, the basis of this show has been to share information. Now, just because the words come out of my mouth, and I keep coming back to this a lot because I feel sometimes my opinions can be a little strong, but just because the words come out of my mouth doesn't mean it's right, okay? I will, old school takes me to task all the time. You know, there's been quite a few people that I've spoken to who have an opinion different from mine. And am I saying that's wrong? No. I encourage controversy. If you have a different opinion from me, I encourage you to come. You know, just, I don't have this little form that you have to sign electronically or something, you know, that goes out saying you can only appear on Trending Mobile Technology if you abide by the views expressly demonstrated by Piper the DJ. I mean, anybody who's followed the history of Jason Rivera and myself know that we don't always agree on everything, but there are some things that we do agree on. But, you know, we can get pretty heated when it comes to stuff, too. Would you agree, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, and we've had the stuff legend. We've done several debate format shows, Put Up or Shut Up, and if you find those on a Trending Topics Network in the archives, you'll find it. It's a lot of fun, but hey, we have a lot of contrasting opinions, and there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah, that is true. There is more than one way to skin a cat, and the bottom line of everything is we might have different opinions, whether it be Jason and myself, or myself and Mr. Old School, or MJR, or anybody that comes on the show. We might have different opinions, and that's fine, because when it's all said and done, everybody is entitled to an opinion. Opinions are just like assholes. Everybody's got one, okay?
Yeah.
And no one is going to fault for having that opinion, especially on this show. So, you
except
know,
for treasure trolls.
Treasure trolls. Oh, my goodness.
You remember that?
Troll, by the way, okay, so let's just go ahead and flip this around real quick. Trolling, okay, patent trolls. They made the news earlier this week, and this this is going to be an actual story that came up. Patent trolls went after Google.
Oh.
And this is a story that came up into Ars Technica. Headline citing, quote, Google wins jury verdict against patent troll that sued its customers. Now, the way this kind of rolled out and the way it started, this is a story that posted on 14 January. So it was middle of last week. This is a case that's been going since 2011, okay? And it was many major companies were involved in this for the simple fact these patent trolls were getting together and they were saying, text messaging, guess what? We came up with that, okay? Now, for those of you out there playing the home game who aren't fully sure what a patent troll is, coming straight off the Wikipedia page, a patent troll, also called a patent assertion entity, is a person or company who enforces patent rights against accused infringers in an attempt to collect licensing fees. Now, in a situation like this particular story, these particular patent trolls went after Google, citing that they had a patent on the way Google Hangouts operated SMS and Hangouts simultaneously.
You know, it amazes me when I hear these stories because, you know, it gets to me because you hear things like this, and then you look at the way Google does their Hangouts to do their SMS. And to be fair to Google, about a month before Google Plus sort of hit and went to beta and everything, Facebook had implemented the same features. So why aren't they suing Facebook? And it always seems like this is a situational thing when we hear these stories. There was a guy, 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago, who tried to sue Sony for their DualShock technology.
Mm-hmm.
And not sue Microsoft, who had a vibrating controller as well, and Nintendo had a vibrating controller as well. I think it's funny because these stories, I don't think they have a leg to stand on. It's more of, oh, my technology looks like your technology, therefore I'm going to sue. And these stories, they blow my mind. Obviously, we've seen Apple sue based on patents that they claim are theirs and solely theirs. But for somebody to be like, essentially say what you're saying here is, I invented text messaging and nobody else can use it unless I say so. I mean, come on, there's more formats than Google, BlackBerry, iPhone, iOS. I mean, you're going to have to sue Motorola and their Razer line of phones, too. I mean, every device runs their text messaging services a little different. So I do find this kind of silly.
The thing that throws me on this one, though, Riv, is that this is a lawsuit that started back in 2011. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Hangouts didn't support SMS until, like, late 2013, mid to late 2013, right? I mean, it's not something that's been out there that long. So I'm thinking this had something to do with Google Voice. You know how the way Google Voice interprets text messages and visual voicemails and all that kind of, well, not visual voicemail. Voicemail to text, because visual voicemail is a T-Mobile. But, you know, I saw this and I was like, really? The patent trolls? I mean, they're just, it goes, you brought up a really good point. You know, they're going to go after one but not the other. You know, the whole thing boils down to, if you're going to troll somebody, troll everybody. Okay, now I understand these guys are in it for the money and maybe they don't have enough capital to get everybody, but if you're going to be a dick to one, be a dick to another. I mean, that's a dick move, so do it. I mean, does that make a little bit of sense? Yes?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be, you know, don't half-ass being a dick.
There you go.
You're going to go all in, balls deep, or you're not, one or the other. But if you're going to go after one, go after the other. I mean, if you have any claim to say something as bold as I own text messaging, well, guess what? Then you got to go after everybody who has a text messaging service.
Right, and that's definitely I mean, if you're going to go after one, go after everybody, and maybe the thing that I thought about, and as I read this in off of Ars Technica, there was another article similar to it that showed up in the Wall Street Journal, and as I read that and researched that as well, I started thinking, well, maybe they want to see how one goes. And if they have an Ice Cube's chance in hell of winning one against a giant like Google, you know, would they just be able to muscle their way in to get the upper hand on this? Would people just, you know, buckle. You know, hey, we won against Google. Boom, here's your lawsuit. And instead of having to go through court, would they just say, okay, here's the check? That's talking about dick moves. That would be it right there. But, I mean, could that possibly be a part of their thinking? I mean, I don't know. I hate trolling people to start with. A few years ago, you put me on a spot when it come to trolling somebody. Oh, yeah, I'd be a pain in somebody's butt quick and in a hurry. But anymore, trolling people, I mean, I would just as soon discuss and collaborate on a situation versus troll anybody about anything, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, the intellectual property of anything is the bottom line is that if it's the intellectual property, let's keep with the intellectual property and not wind up losing it all. You know, that's just the way that'll work. We're going to go ahead and rewind really quick, Riv, to last week. And last week we had a bit of a conversation where we were talking about SmartStay. For those playing the home game, if you are a Samsung user, SmartStay is the compatibility or the ability to where your phone, your front-facing camera, will watch your eyes. And the way it's designed is if you're reading something on your device, the screen will not A, dim, or time out, if you have this feature activated, until you are no longer looking at it. If you watch the press release for the Galaxy S4, or actually some of the commercials, now that I think about it, where the guy was watching something on YouTube and he looked away and it stopped, and everybody's like, ooh, can I do it? Can you do it again? You know, crazy crap like that. SmartStay has gone on the books, and this coming off the AC and the XDA both. Both sites I frequent regularly for research, and both sites citing that with the 4.3 build, SmartStay is not functioning. However, 4.4 is supposed to fix this sometime in the very near future. Now, Riv, in the pre-show, we discussed a bit of a workaround solution, and you mentioned that you've got that located and installed. Just give me a quick 30-second rundown on it.
All right. Well, you did some research on it, and you told me before the show that you found an application that would be a good substitute, which is SmartStay EX by Nebkat. Nebkat is the developer. SmartStay EX, it's a little green eyeball icon for the thing. I downloaded it, put it in, and I'm looking at my phone right now without pressing anything, and the phone is, in fact, staring right back at me and not powering the screen off, which is very useful because a lot of times I'll read something that's very wordy, and I won't have to scroll down right away. I have a lot of screen on the Note too. I don't need to scroll as often as somebody with a smaller phone. And it's working perfect, which is very helpful because, again, I don't want to set it to a static, leave the screen on for 1 minute, 2 minutes, whatever, and then dim it off. I like it to have a short off time, you know, otherwise, if I put it idle. So this is helpful to me because I do a lot of reading on my cell phone. A lot of times, I know a lot of people listening probably have the same problem I have, where, hey, they take their phone with them, they put it on their nightstand where they charge it by their bed, and then suddenly, I can't sleep. I'm going to randomly look something up and read it, or I'm gonna read on my phone. I'm going to scroll through Twitter, or I'm going to play a couple games of Words with Friends, whatever. And because of that, SmartStay is very useful, especially with Words with Friends, because you're sort of looking at the board, you're not making a move yet, and you're assessing the situation. Sometimes it's really annoying when you have that screen time of like 15, 30 seconds. The screen just turned off before I could really get a good look at everything. So I like SmartStay in that regard.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. Keep us advised on that. Let us know what it goes. Be advised, folks, that the boards that I did check, the AC and XDA, both had cited similar responses concerning the situation with SmartStay, and both had suggested the same app. Different users citing the same solution, and that 4.4 is supposed to give some type of resolution to this. Now, as we continue to move forward on this, Riv, I've got a new segment I'm going to bring in to the show, and you're going to kind of be my guinea pig on this, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you consenting to this in the pre-show. Obviously, as I prepare for this show every week, I do a lot of reading, and I mean a lot. And what I'm going to do is every once in a while, I will read a headline that'll just make me stop. and I've got to read it again. So what I'm going to do is it's a little segment that I'm calling Factor Crap, okay? And here's what you got to do. I will read a headline. At that point in time, you need to determine if that headline is either factual or if it's crap.
All right.
If it is crap, I will give you the correct headline, give you a rundown of the article, and then we'll discuss it. If it's true,
All right.
I'll still give you a rundown of the article, and we'll move on from there, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Article number one, BYOD, leaving a job can mean losing personal information. Fact or crap?
I'm going to go with fact on that.
That is factual. In a story cited by the Wall Street Journal, 22 January, individuals who were leaving a BYOD situation were citing personal information was being removed when remote wipe was activated on their device. Now, BYOD, for those playing the home game, is bring your own device. In many corporate executive situations, they have established BYOD, bring your own device. Hey, you've got a smartphone? Okay, here's what we need to do. We'll install a certificate, and then you'll be able to get your contacts, your email, and all that kind of good stuff. A couple weeks ago, Mr. Old School and I went toe-to-toe concerning BYOD. When BYOD first hit me, I thought it was a great thing. Okay, however, through the sharing of information and more research on my end and things of that nature, it has its place, but it's not perfect. Now, Riv, you're an advertisement, so you do a lot of stuff on your own. BYOD to you. What does it mean, what does it mean to you, and how do you think this would function in your space?
I think bring your own device. I mean, I work as an independent contractor and I work in advertising, and so it's a necessity. Hey, I need a phone. I need access to email. I need access to a camera at all times. So I'm pretty much on my own. My company isn't gonna supply me a phone with which to do it. As far as wiping or taking your personal information, though, I think that that's a problem because of the fact that, okay, my personal information was my personal information before I got hired, and it's still my personal information after I leave. Okay, I work for you. I don't work for you anymore. So short of maybe removing an application, like if the job that I work has a certain app they expect me to use to do all of their work. Okay, I can understand that. I need to uninstall that app or whatever. Taking any further personal information, whether it's my pictures, numbers out of my phone, whatever, this is protected on private property. Phones are protected under private property, so you're infringing upon that right, I believe.
I agree. But this also goes to another side. A couple weeks ago, I did a breakdown of SNOX, which is the quote-unquote Samsung solution to BYOD, in the fact that SNOX was having problems with 4.4 because, if I'm not mistaken, a particular a professor in mobile security got on, and he actually mentioned that it was making Android behave in a way that it's not supposed to. Now, this is only a problem within the Android space. To my knowledge, Microsoft has a BYOD conduit or VPN established. So does Nokia. So does BlackBerry. So does Apple. The problem that I think we're running into here, number one, is this article doesn't actually say what operating system we're dealing with that has this problem. Number two, Android is open source. Okay, and this is I don't want this to sound like I'm being a Google fanboy here, because I understand this perhaps on a different level than a lot of other people, and I don't mean this to insult anybody's intelligence, but Android is open source. It's built on a Linux kernel. It's built on open source. It's designed to be developed. It's designed to act a certain way outside the confines of your normal programming language, okay? Yeah. SNOX does not allow Android to do that. It locks it down. It makes it proprietary, okay? I believe the exact statement was, quote, Android behaved in a way that it was not supposed to. Well, of course, duh. The bottom line is, we're on the internet, and the internet Internet of Things, as things continue on and things continue moving forward, there is not going to be, you might have a sense of security, but when the bottom line comes down, if it's on the Internet, guess what? It's not going to be secure.
Yep.
Would you agree to that? I mean, I'm not a Facebook user, Riv, and I've heard you spout off on it as well. Okay, I have Facebook for one reason, and it's for family. And I could probably count on one hand the friends I have on Facebook.
Let me explain Facebook to you. First of all, this is a site that I no longer use because initially it said that after so many years of using it, that Facebook deemed me to not really be me and asked for my driver's license. Okay, now I have a big problem with that. Hey, I'm not going to give you my fucking driver's license number. There's a certain amount of information that I'm not comfortable giving any authority. So they closed my account, and then after a little bit of bitching, complaining, they reopened my account on Facebook, and then they deleted me a couple weeks later because I was quote unquote inappropriate, which might be because I did email a Facebook associate during that situation some very colorful language in regards to what they can do and where they can go with a request to take my driver's license, because I do think that's getting a little bit too personal. But I think what's funny is we have a lot of people who are concerned about personal information on the internet. Hey, you know, don't broadcast my personal information. The other day I saw this idiot on Twitter. He can only be described as an idiot because he was trying to show, of course, Piper, you know, Capital One. You may have seen the commercials, you know, their slogan, what's in
what's in your wallet, right?
And you know, you can put whatever picture you want on your credit card. Now this moron, this retard, I'm sorry, I cannot use any other language to describe this person, because he has to be the dumb, and this is the way he thinks. Posts a picture of his credit card on Twitter with his credit card number out, because he wanted to show the picture of his cat to everybody on his Twitter. And I'm thinking, you idiot, are going to take that number and they are going to take your money. And he goes, not without the security code, not if it's not updated. I said, that's not the point. Your full name is on the card, your credit card number is on the card. Anybody with a functioning brain that happens to hack the internet or traverse the internet that sees that is going to use that information to get everything else that they want or they need, and they are going to take you to the cleaners, you dumbass. And these are the type of people that we need to worry about are using the internet more. These people think that their information is protected. And these are the first people to complain when something bad happens. Well, you can complain that something bad happens all day, but if you don't have common sense to protect yourself from it, and Facebook, as you said, is a point where people post every facet of their life to the point you can see who they broke up with, when they got with them, when they broke up with them, when they got back together with them, and make status about every person that they're dealing with, to the point where it's like, I'm at such and such restaurant with this person, this person, this person, this person, here's a picture of all of us, and you mean to tell me that you're worried about privacy? You don't seem that worried if you're doing that on a constant, consistent, regular basis. Information on the internet, somebody grabs it, is going to use it for evil. If you don't want it being used, don't put it out.
Exactly. Truer words were never spoken. Yes, I definitely can back that up 100%. If you don't want it out there, you know, people, the biggest thing that I got a kick out of is college kids would go to a kegger and just go crazy, and then parents would be on there, obviously, and prospective employers would be on there. Oh, you know, well, duh. Why is it called social media? Because it's social. Unintended, right? Isn't that what unintended consequences. That's what I'm thinking of. Unintended consequence. So, yeah, that's just, as to the guy with the credit card thing, who cares if you don't have the three-digit number? It's still doable, okay? It is still doable. I'm not saying I know how it can be done, but I'm sure there's a way. I mean, there's a reason why there's procedures in these financial institutions.
Just to follow up, Piper, now, I did go through his picture timeline after it happened, and this wasn't the first instance. He also, I love getting paid, and a picture of his check and his pay stub that he received from work, which, my technology, we have technology, and it's sort of limited, but some people do have all the time in the world to spend 4 hours to magnify that enough to read his numbers.
I mean, heck yeah.
I could have done it, but, you know, hey, I don't care that much. But hey, somebody who's after your information, they care enough. Trust me.
Oh, there's people that sit in basements, and I mean, it just, yeah, they can do it. They can do it. They can do it. So, okay. I think we've beat this one to the ground. pretty good tangent, but we'll go ahead and move on to the next story. This one coming in on the heels of CES, which is a consumer electronics show. Fridge sends spam text messages as it gets hit by smart gadgets.
I'm going to go with false on that one.
That is false. That is false. The real story coming in from the BBC. Many thanks to Only One Mart for pointing this one out to me. Says, quote, fridge does send spam to email. The story goes on to cite, quote, a fridge has been discovered sending out spam after a web attack managed to compromise the smart gadgets. This fridge was one of more than 100,000 devices used to take part in the spam campaign. Now, I mentioned it a little bit last week, and I mentioned it a little bit before then. I'm probably going to mention it ad nauseum before the year is over. The theme for CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, was the Internet of Things. Being connected, staying in contact, being at home when you're not at home, or you're home away from home, or whatever verbiage or terminology or spin you want to put on it. The fact is, you can leave the house, and as long as you have your smart device with you, you can be in contact with your home. You can be in contact with the refrigerator, your washing machine, your vacuum cleaner, your TV, your DVR, your satellite, all these extra things. Be in contact. But the problem is, and this is what the door companies are having problems with, because they were citing that you know, they're making NFC door knobs now, doing away with keys, you know, similar to what they have like hotels with the card and stuff. Yeah, they're doing NFC because more NFC devices are coming out more and more and more. But the problem that they're running into is stuff like that is limited to the physics of an electronic circuit, meaning if that door is no longer energized or has an electric current going through it, what's going to happen?
It's going to short out.
If you can overload it, what's going to happen? Is it going to open? Is it going to lock out the owner? Is it going to, I mean, you know, well, the solution to that is, well, you just carry an extra key in your back pocket. Hello? Did you just hear the dumb words that came out of your mouth? It's supposed to be an NFC door so I can eliminate my key. And you're telling me as a, quote, backup to carry a key in my pocket? What? Riv, help me out on this.
I don't understand how these people function in society. I don't understand. This is one of the dangers of automating everything. I think that if you automate everything that you have, you know, these are the fail-safes. You open yourselves up to hacks. You open yourself up to fridges sending out spam. I mean, you have to realize, okay, technology is great, but as you just saw, there are pitfalls. This is one of them. I don't think we're quite ready yet to eliminate the door. We're not ready to eliminate the door and the standard lock and key if their answer is bring key to a door that doesn't have.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I mean, you know, I can understand the convenience factor. Okay, and as a matter of fact, last week I just got my first set of NFC tags in, and I've been playing around with them, doing different things with them, and it's actually kind of fun, but I wouldn't, to be completely honest, I wouldn't trust that technology to secure my house.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Now, I know, like, there's cars that are incorporating NFC technology, like, into the key fob and stuff like that, and the microchip on the ignitions and stuff like that. I can understand that because that's pre-programmed, all right? But I don't know how I would feel putting this on my house. It just... It's one of those things where, you know, I like my technology, I like my electronics, but there's still too many variables that are in there that I've just, you know, I gotta see a better functioning model. You know, what happens if the power goes out? What happens if it gets short-circuited? What happens if this? What happens? I mean, if you can go through and address all these objections, I might give it a try. But, I mean, there's way too many variables that are still built in there that I'm not sure that I can fully swing with. And that's, you know, another good point. Yeah, we've got all these things that we want to do that, you know, it's great, but, you know, just... I mean, if it's going to be a solution, a half-assed solution, when you're talking about the safety and security of your house, I'm sorry, it's got to work as far as I'm concerned, right?
I agree.
Yeah. Story number three. Here's one for you. AT&T CEO calls out T-Mobile CEO for, quote, disrupting a press conference, unquote.
It's iffy. I don't know if it's true or false, but I think I'm going to go with true just because I know that there is some history there between our AT&T and T-Mobile.
This is actually a true story. This is something that comes back from CES. AT&T was getting ready for their press conference, their big release. I believe it was their second press conference. John Legere, who is the CEO of T-Mobile, who has been doing, as far as I'm concerned, great things in mobile tech since he took over and since T-Mobile has started being the Un-carrier. And he wasn't bothering anybody at the press conference. He was sitting there quietly minding his own business. He actually had advised security that he was there for the after-show entertainment, which was supposed to be Macklemore. And he wound up getting barred from the site. Now, I look at this and say, okay, for one, flapping your lips a little too much, AT&T, maybe you're being a little bit of an attraction whore. I mean, now, John Legere, for one, he is a very vocal CEO, as far as I'm concerned. He showed up to the AT&T press conference wearing a T-Mobile shirt, so I could kind of understand how he wasn't trying to be incognito, but at the same time, AT&T, they thought that they had their big boy pants on when they went against T-Mobile, and they didn't. And I got a feeling that's the source of a lot of their problems. Would you agree with that one, Riv?
You know, AT&T, I feel like this is sour grapes because of the fact that, if you remember, they tried to acquire T-Mobile,
yep,
and that fell through. And I'm glad that it did, because to be honest with you, as a T-Mobile user, there is nothing that I would hate more than for AT&T to acquire T-Mobile. One of the big reasons for that is that I had AT&T before I'm a T-Mobile. I jumped from AT&T to T-Mobile. And I said before, it feels like you can't get away from AT&T. They're Galactus. They consume everything as you try to get away from them by buying it. And I don't like AT&T, to be honest. I don't like their policies. I don't like their billing policy. These are people who, if you're a day late on your phone, will disconnect your phone and charge you $30 to turn it back on.
Right.
Now, I know that if for whatever reason, if my check is a little bit late by a couple days, T-Mobile will not only work with me, but they won't charge me a late charge, and they won't turn my phone off. I've paid my T-Mobile bill off 4 or 5 days after the posted due date because of the fact that, for whatever reason, my checks don't work out the way that I thought they were going to. And they're like, hey, we're cool with it. You're in great standing with us. You always pay your bill, and that's what matters. You know, it's not like outstandingly late. Like, again, if I were like 2 weeks late or a month late, yeah, then I would not be in good standing. But T-Mobile has always worked with me. AT&T will not work with you. They are the biggest assholes in the mobile game. And the only reason that anybody puts AT&T over is because when it came to the iPhone, they raised their hands and went, ooh, first.
Yep.
And we know how that turned out. Everybody jumped on the iPhone. You know what? AT&T, I'm sure the execs cried themselves to sleep when that contract ended. And when you start seeing the iPhone show up on Verizon and T-Mobile and on Sprint. Because all of a sudden, AT&T wasn't special anymore. And you know what happened when that happened? Is that a good percentage of their customer base said, screw you, I'm going to Verizon. Which, I'm a T-Mobile guy, but some people do prefer Verizon for whatever reasons. A lot of people jumped ship as soon as that contract went up. AT&T, the only thing that kept them special was that iPhone exclusivity.
Which many tech bloggers saw that writing on the wall, and many of them said, you know, well, you know, with the loss of the iPhone, what are they going to do now? And sure as anything, you know, that there isn't anything that makes them special. Yeah, sure, they've got a reasonable, they do have a solid number two network. However, their prices, they're just, for a guy like me, their prices are too high. I mean, they like to talk out of both sides of their mouth. They'll say, oh yeah, you can get this discount, but but, you know, and they put that but there, and it's just like, wait a minute. It's like I was talking to a new ISP this week, and I said, well, yeah, you can get broadband for this rate if you get it with this. And I'm like, okay, so simple math, you're wanting to charge X for this service, which I get. But in order to get it for this price, I need to get this service, which is X plus one, right? That's correct. And if I don't get the X plus one service, then this is just going to be, what, X plus two? Yes. Okay, simple math, polynomials here. 2X plus one is essentially greater than X plus two. Follow that?
Yeah.
So you know, and I'm just like, okay, so I'll stick with the X plus two. And the thing about T-Mobile, or not T-Mobile, about AT&T, is they like to say, okay, we've got X plus one. It's the greatest package because you get A, B, and C all for X plus one. But if you just get A, you can get it for X. You know, it's all about this bundle thing. And I'm just I was like, look, I'm a cord cutter. I don't need no damn phone. I don't need no damn TV. All I want is your internet. Okay?
You know, the problem I have with AT&T as well is you talk about business practices potentially being unethical. And the thing with AT&T that I got to tell you right off the bat, flat out, that drives me crazy is that they do this thing where there are two people that I cannot stand on this earth knocking on my door in mourning. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. They love to do this. Now, for whatever reason, religiously, and I apologize to anyone whose religious denomination is one of those, I don't like being woken up. I don't like being woken up at the crack of dawn to talk about your point of view on religion. And that's because of the fact that it may not match my point of view, and I feel that's imposing. Now, AT&T has taken to doing the same thing. The same annoyance that I have when talking about religion at 9 a.m. in the morning in my underwear answering my door with morning wood and morning breath, I now have to deal with AT&T. They dress him real geek squad in the white shirt with the black tie and the black khaki pants, and he shows up with a clipboard. Hey, I heard you were with Comcast. I want to know if you want to switch to AT&T U-verse. We go 66% faster than Comcast. You know what? If I wanted to switch to you, I will call you. Not come knocking on my door. Do not come bothering me, and do not ask me if there's a better time to talk about this. The fact that you woke me up in the first place to talk about it takes the deal off the table. I don't care what you're offering. Do not wake me up. I'm a grumpy Gus in the morning. Go away. And that's AT&T, and that's their business model, is to harass you and bully you into getting their service if you don't have it. And to be honest, the big reason that I don't like AT&T for a home service is because of the fact that some people may or may not know this. I like play online video games. I play World of Warcraft, and I had a problem where it wasn't connecting to the game, and it was an AT&T problem. AT&T was locking Blizzard. Now, because they have that proprietary DSL modem that they were offering, it's not like with Comcast modem, whether you like Comcast or not, if you have any sort of technical knowledge, you can get in there and change the settings, troubleshoot, diagnose, find out if something's blocked that you don't want blocked. You can fiddle around with it. AT&T does not offer you that option. And when called and asked about why people had these type of problems, I wasn't the only one in the country. There were lots of people having different problems with different services pertaining to the video gaming. AT&T said, we do not support the video gaming community on our service.
Right.
You know, at the time, video gaming was not as commonplace. When I first, this was around the time of the PS2, the original Xbox, not the one that's out now, but the first Xbox. This was just coming into the forefront. We were going into the early days. The Xbox 360 was first coming out. Online play was not as important. But for anybody to say, oh, we flat out don't support it, if you were any sort of video gamer, this was a problem. And so I said, you know what, see you guys later. We're switching to Comcast.
Right.
You know, AT&T, bad business model. This is a constant trend with them. This is why, you know, not only did the government step in and break up their monopoly all those years ago, but why everybody fears them ever getting a monopoly on anything ever again because of their unethical business practices.
Yeah, which is true. And we you touched on it briefly, you know, just the different things that they did, you know, showing up all geek squad and everything like that. You know, I admit, the biggest thing, I don't get to sleep in very often, okay? And it seems like these guys, they find the crazy easiest times to show up on my door. Whether it be a Saturday morning or a beautiful Sunday morning, you know, maybe I'm not even asleep. Maybe I'm sitting down reading a paper, enjoying a morning cup of coffee, whatever it is. Either way, I'm not in a hurry to get dressed. I'm not in a hurry to go out and talk to somebody at the door and seeing, well, you know, can we come back? Can we send you some literature? No. I was out shopping the other day, and I had a Verizon representative, because we can get Verizon broadband home service here, and we can get the broadband as well. And the lady was talking to me, and I said, you're talking to the wrong guy on this. And she's like, why is that? And I said, because where your service says we'll get you up to 12.5, they say up to, but there's no minimum on it. And she's like, well, that's right. But typically, I'm like, no. Don't give me typical, because I've used your service before. And when on that service, I was getting less than a meg, regular. And it was like that for weeks until I told you to get your boxes out of my house. And she's like, well, we can fix it. I was like, no. I gave you time to fix it. You know, I'm not concerned. And seeing AT&T continue to hold this, for lack of a better term, clusterfuck over T-Mobile is just, they're drawing light to themselves, but in a bad way, because you're a T-Mobile user, I'm a T-Mobile user. T-Mobile announced, I believe, a 12% increase in quarter four, okay? So T-Mobile's up, Sprint is down, of course. Verizon is on its way down, but AT&T's kind of holding steady. But, you know, you'd think that these mobile providers would want to work together, because they, in essence, they kind of have to, because they're sharing each other's antennas, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know what gets me, too? One of the things with T-Mobile I want to put out there is that when I first switched to this, to the Note 2, I was able to do it with no problem, no questions asked out of T-Mobile. I was just about due for an upgrade, but I wasn't quite there yet. They had no problem boosting that for me, upgrading me to it again, you know, because I was in good standing and they took care of me. I think with AT&T, what they would have done, and I've seen it happen. I've seen it actually happen to one of the professional wrestlers I've hung around. It was Ricardo Rodriguez, WrestleMania weekend. His screen had cracked, and he had to go ahead and sign up for a family plan, because with the family plan, they give you a free phone anyway.
Uh-huh.
Just to get the free phone. Like, he had to go through all of the runaround with AT&T to do that. So, you know, it just shows you what AT&T, with T-Mobile, hey, I have a problem with my phone. Oh, we'll get you taken care of. No questions asked. Here's a new phone. AT&T, oh, we'll take care of you, but first you have to sign your life away and agree to this family plan, and then we'll give you a phone, and then you're locked into the hornet's nest, so to speak. Now, one of the other things I wanted to say about AT&T and DirecTV, just a little fun fact for you. The DirecTV associates at Walmart, and I do live in a predominantly urban market area.
Okay.
So what they did is they put these very pretty, young, attractive, blonde female ladies in very tight pants.
They're called booth
very
babes.
Big posteriors. Yeah, very big posteriors, big booty hoes in the middle of a urban market Walmart to try to attract people to getting DirecTV. AT&T ethics for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, booth babes. However, however, it has been noted, and it's been researched for the past couple of years at CES, the CES booths that are manned with booth babes actually get less hits than the booths that are manned with just your normal technologist. Why? Because people go to the technology. They don't go for the booth babe, right? I mean, if I were to go to a tech show, I wouldn't care about the booth babe. I wouldn't. I mean, I'd go, okay, I want to look at this developer and that developer and this developer and that developer and this one, you know? And I'm not going to care who's there. I'm going to want to care who gives me the information, right? I mean, you know, you mentioned, right, you know, big booty hoes working a booth in an urban store. I mean, okay, big deal. You know, it's just like, look, you can give me any scenario, any package that you want. I can destroy any pitch you're going to give me with two words: cord cutter. You can't beat it. They try and stop me. I'm just like, I'm a cord cutter. Sorry. Oh, well, okay then. All right. Good. You can't keep up. That's cool. I'm good with that, you know? And then it just, and that's, you know, just to talk about the AT&T early upgrade plan just really quick, this is the way that they feel that they are benefiting their customer. You can upgrade your device as soon as 6 months, provided that you are in their quote-unquote specialty plan, which is called... Oh, God, I can't even see what it's called here now. It's just called Early Upgrade. $35 a month service plan, service fee, to get involved in this program. However, you have to make sure that the device that you currently own, A, is not on subsidy, and B, is paid off free and clear. So how many times are you going to pay for those devices? Oh, and you have to give the device that you're currently carrying back.
Jeez.
So here we go. Riv, you have a Note 2. I can tell you that your Note 2 is still running about $500 list, MSRP. So that means you walk into AT&T, say, hey, I want to set up a new line of service on a Galaxy Note 2. Not a problem, Mr. Rivera. We can get that taken care of for you, no problem. $35 a month is your service fee. You'll be able to upgrade that Note 2 in 6 months, provided the fact you pay your $150 a month monthly contract for 3 gigs of data, unlimited talk, unlimited text. Plus, you'll have your monthly fee for the device. Now, in the event, Mr. Rivera, that you want to upgrade your device at the end of that 6 months, all you have to do is pay off your Note 2, the balance. Continue giving us the $35 a month service fee, and then you give us the Note 2 back, and you can pick another device, Mr. Rivera. What does that sound like to you?
That sounds like I'm getting out of here. Thank you very much for wasting my time. See you later.
Yeah, I could go for that. I could go for that. And since we've tossed around a lot about AT&T and T-Mobile, really quick, Riv, I just want to touch on this, because we're past the, getting close to past the hour mark already. A couple weeks ago, Sprint made some pretty heavy allusions that they're going to try and get into the pants of T-Mobile and buy T-Mobile. Deutsche Bank is looking like they're getting a little bit of cold feet. SoftBank is getting a little bit more assertive with their control of Sprint. Having been a former Sprint customer, I look at this and my skin kind of starts to crawl, because this area of Sprint service sucks. That's just all there is to it. Let me toss this to you, Riv, and see what you've got to say about Sprint and T-Mobile possibly merging.
That also makes my skin crawl. Sprint is another one of those companies I got away from because of the fact that this was a company that was all about the hidden fees when I had them. I initially started off with Sprint, and I moved to Singular, which then got bought out by AT&T. I hate these takeovers because of the fact that takeovers are bad. Don't listen to what they try to tell you, because when Sprint bought, who did they buy? They bought Nextel.
Yep, Nextel. They've in this area, they've bought quite a bit of the U.S. cellular bandwidth as well.
Yeah, and who was it who bought Boost? Wasn't that also Sprint?
Sprint. No? Yeah, Boost is Sprint. Yes.
Yeah. See, Sprint is trying to be AT&T. And the problem with that is that they also try to emulate AT&T's god-awful business practices. Now, don't listen to Sprint when they tell you that a merger is good for business. It's not. The less options that you have for a wireless carrier, the worse it is, because if you're not happy, you have less places you can go. I don't want them picking up T-Mobile. Sprint is the master of hidden fees and surcharges, and then if you call them, they go, oh, I have no idea why that X charge is on your bill. Let me try to figure it out. Let me call a supervisor. Oh, he has no idea why that's on the bill. I mean, I was paying way more for getting a lot less when I finally cut ties with Sprint, and I wasn't happy. I really wasn't. I was operating with them without a contract at some point, and at that point, rather than renew a contract, I parted ways with them. They are not ethical. They are not a good company either, and I'd hate for them to acquire T-Mobile just as much as I'd hate for AT&T to acquire T-Mobile. I think right now T-Mobile is, I think the problem is that T-Mobile is putting out one of the best packages out there for people. It's affordable. You get a lot of bang for your buck. You get a lot of upgrade options. And that is a threat to Sprint. That is a threat to AT&T. And they just want T-Mobile out of the picture because of the fact that one less competitor, especially one that's pesky and gaining in power, is good for them. So that they can offer you a lot less.
Right. And that's definitely for sure. I mean, now, I didn't experience Sprint when they had all their hidden charges and stuff like that. They were still... Now, I went from Sprint to Nextel, back to Sprint, before I got off of them and went to U.S. I'm sorry. Then I was on Singular for a little bit. Then I went to U.S. Sailor.
The only good thing about Sprint is their commercials with it. James Earl Jones and the other guy. I don't know if you've caught those.
No, actually, I haven't.
Oh, they are hilarious. They have this British guy and James Earl Jones act out social networking via telephone. So they're both on the stage, and it's like, the British guy is like, Mary has sent you a friend request. And then James Earl Jones is like, you are now friends with Mary. And then they go, Shannon has sent you a text request. You are now friends with Shannon. And then it's like, Bill has sent you a text request. And then James Earl Jones just looks at him and, like, sneers. That's like denying the friend request on Facebook. But they're witty commercials. I'll give them that. I thought that was kind of funny. And they have them, like, read out the awful shorthand of some people's text messages and some commercials. And it's cute. And marketing, don't get me wrong, marketing is powerful stuff. If you have a good commercial, you can get the uninformed, unwashed masses to your product. I could recognize good advertising. That's why I work in advertising.
I was going to say, this coming from the guy that works in advertising. For sure.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
We got one final thing I'm going to get into, and this is also coming in on the hands of CES, and I kind of held on to this story for you to be on for the simple fact that you like the bigger phone, and the more and more I come in contact with people, the more and more I'm finding that those who can function with the bigger phone like the bigger phone. And the phones are getting bigger still, tablets are getting smaller still, but the variety and the breadth is there for these devices. And this is a story coming in off Digital Trends, dated 16 January 2014. The Ascend Mate 2 going against the Samsung Galaxy Note 3, going against the LG G Flex. Now, these three devices, if you put them all side by side by side, for those who might not remember, the LG G Flex is the banana phone. The Galaxy Note 3 is the newest generation to the device that Jason Rivera and I both carry. And the Ascend Mate 2 is the Huawei-designed device that's trying to break into the United States, but for many other reasons beyond anybody's control, it's having a bit of a difficulty. And just put the three of these devices together. You got a 6.1 on the Ascend, a 5.7 Super AMOLED on the Note 3, and a 6-inch curve on the LG G Flex. Now, we can break down these devices all the way down six different ways from Monday if we want to. But the question that I have to ask you, Riv, how big is too big?
That's the question. That's hard to say. I don't have a problem with the Ascend's size. I don't mind a larger phone. I think that size, and it sounds like I'm talking about sex here instead, but I think it's a matter of preference. I think I don't think there's such a thing as too big, because there are some people whose vision is probably far worse than mine,
right,
that can use a larger phone, like something that's even larger than the Note 2. The Note 2 is about right. The Note 3 is about the same size. It's about right.
Yeah, it's 2/10 bigger than the Note 2 is. The Note 2 is 5.5. The Note 3 is 5.7.
Yeah, I mean, it's about right at that size. I think that's a perfect sort of balance. Now, you have to know that once you get larger than that, you're going to start giving up a little bit of convenience for a little bit more screen, for a little bit more functionality, for a little bit more in your face, because it's going to be less convenient to carry it around. The Note 2 fits perfectly just about in any of my pants pockets, wherever, tucked away. You start getting bigger than that, and that's going to start getting to be a little bit problematic. I mean, I would say if you're looking at it in that regard, you could probably go with about six and a half at most, but anything, past that, I don't think work out for you.
I don't know. I look at some of these devices, and I'm also a Nexus 7 user. I'm also an iPad mini Retina user. And as these devices get bigger, it's going to come to a point where I just might as well strap a tablet to my hip and go with that. Now, that would be highly, highly impractical for me. A, because, I like the form of my Note 2. I like the way that it fits. I like the way that it runs in my everyday. I like the way that it's incorporated into what I do. If you get much bigger than that, even I'd say 6.5 inches. I'll go with the side of you and say 6.5 inches. Even that size, though, depending on how wide it is, I still might not be able to use that on my hip. Because, guess what? Hips tips are curved, okay? I carry my phone, seriously, right on my hip. Boom. Right there. I've got a belt loop that sits, like, right there on my, the top of my pelvis, and my phone sits right in front of it. So if you look at me and you know what you're looking for, you can see where my phone is sitting under my shirt. It's just, it's comfortable for me. I can feel it there. If these phones get too wide or too much bigger, I'm scared I'm going to start breaking cases. And am I concerned about that? Well, yeah, because then I start, you know, I've sworn by OtterBox for so long, and I'm not a fan of carrying my phones in my pockets, just for the simple fact that I sit, I stand, I move around, I'm leaning on something, I'm picking stuff up, I'm throwing it around, I sit, I stand, I pick stuff up, I throw it around, I'm moving. You know, what's to say that that device isn't going to take a wrong bump at some point in time? I'm going to lean against something or what have you, and all it's going to take is a little bit, and boom, it's going to be done. And then I'm going to be pissed, you know? So, yeah, I preach device safety. Why? Yes, I'm in a factory situation, so my situation might be a little bit different from your average everyday show, or everyday show, everyday Joe, all right? Yeah. But there is still that concern that's there. So if these devices get too much bigger, I'm going to be like, you know, that's not going to ride comfortably in any way, shape, or form. And then you're talking about, okay, so then do I got to start carrying a purse again, or a merce, a man purse? You know, I got to start thinking about, okay, so I got to have a Bluetooth with me everywhere I go, because holding this damn thing up to my head, I'm just going to look like someone's going to want to shoot me, because I'm going to look like an oversized idiot or something like that. I don't know. I mean, 5.5 inches works good for me. I will say, though, I am honestly interested to see what the next generation of phone is going to be, because I'm interested to see, and not necessarily just on the Samsung camp, I'm interested to see what Sony's got in the works, what LG's got in the works, what some of these other guys have got in the works, because I... Here we go. The sauce. I haven't talked about it for a couple weeks, and I'm sorry, but the Samsung sauce, Riv, I'm really, yes, I'm rooted, yes, I'm ROMed, but TouchWiz is such a bug up my ass. Sorry. Okay.
You know, the thing is, and the reason that I like to see these other companies come up is because I've said it before, I'll say it again, and it doesn't matter what product, whether it's technology, whether it's entertainment, whether it's video game consoles, competition is good for business. Competition will cause everybody to strive to better and put out something better than what they're bringing out. If you don't have competition, you have complacency. Nobody has to strive to be better because they're the only option. The more options that are out there, the better everybody will be in long.
Truer words were never spoken. And I tell you what, I've had that thrown in my face the past couple weeks. You'll remember a few weeks ago, Mr. Old School challenged me to take a closer look at Windows Mobile 8. And the next time I have him on, I'm going to go in a little bit further in the story. And competition is definitely everything, because everybody in this industry wants a leg up. Everybody wants, they don't necessarily want dominance, but they want to be that number one. Samsung always wants to be Apple. Sony wants to be Samsung. LG wants to be Samsung. Nokia wants to be Apple. You know, you've got all these guys jockeying together, working to be better than who they are. Maybe somebody dropped the ball at one point in time, like, well, you know, Sony at one point in time, they were creme de la creme, and they dropped the ball for a little bit, and they're not who they used to be. Motorola, same story. You know, now they look like they're getting their act together now with their new Moto series, their Moto X, their Moto G, you know, Moto Makers, actually, well, not Moto Maker, but, you know, the new wood backs for the Moto X. As a matter of fact, they're starting to get them over in the UK and various things like that. You know, so you got these guys that are, they have high hopes, but they got complacent, you know? Well, in this industry, and just like in advertising, Riv, you can't be complacent. You gotta be on it. You gotta, I mean, if you tell a client, look, Monday we'll be here, we'll get this new signage up for you, we'll get the new banner ads, we'll get your displays up and going like this, by golly, you better get there and get it done when you say. I mean, it's just the same thing in mobile tech. You can't put out the same processor year after 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 year. You get the idea. You've got to move. You've got to make it better. You've got to give the people something to come back for. I mean, Snapdragon 400 versus Snapdragon 800. I could give you probably a page full of stuff of the difference between the two. Is it that significant? Not really. Why? Number one, I'm running a Snapdragon 400. I've got 2 gigs of RAM and I'm perfectly happy with it. Snapdragon 800, yeah, sure, you're going to get your geeks and you guys that just want to tweak and tinker and fine-tune and make it better and do lots of the crazy crap with it, launch missiles and control driverless cars and all this other kind of crazy stuff. But the bottom line is there is so much out there. So much variety. Yeah, that's a word I could use, variety, right? I mean, there's so many different things that are out there for us in this industry that you don't necessarily have to go 100% Samsung or 100% LG or 100% HTC or 100% Google or 100% Apple or 100% Windows. You don't. Many months ago, old school came to me, he's like, dude, why are you pigeonholing yourself? Well, that's true. Why was I? Because I was being stupid. You know, so at that point in time, Riv, would you agree that, you know, competition does make things better? I will agree with that 100%. Would you agree, though, that complacency is the worst thing any manufacturer can do at this stage of the game?
I agree, because I think a lot of other companies right now are very hungry. There's no such thing as a top dog spot. Apple thought they were the top dog, and then Samsung came up behind them, and Samsung right now, I would say, is equally on equal footing as Apple right now in terms of device hardware. Android is going to overtake Apple before it's all said and done, just because it's available on a wider array of devices. But it doesn't mean you get complacent, because there's always somebody new. Microsoft is looking to get their Windows phones out there up and running, and they'll do whatever it takes. And Microsoft, they don't play ethically. They don't play fair. And that's one thing you have to admire about them from a marketing and advertising standpoint. They'll do whatever it takes to be number one. And they're going to try to stick their hand in the cookie jar. You know, Samsung and Apple have great hardware, but you know what? LG is not too far behind. They're coming up. You're going to see a lot more devices coming up, and it's also going to be a price point issue. Look how expensive the top iPhone is. Look how expensive the top Samsung Galaxy is. And people are going to try to figure out how we bring something out to the masses that brings that quality for a cheaper price. You cannot afford to rest on your laurels, because being number one just means there's at least 8 other companies gunning to take your spot.
That's very true. It's like painting a target on your back. Once you're at the top, everybody's coming after you, get you off of that spot. Would you agree with that one?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's how crazy is it that I can sit here and listen to have this conversation with you, and I can think about professional wrestling. Just for I mean, follow me on this one. Everybody strives to be a champion, whether it be a world heavyweight champion or the WWE champion, whatever. They strive to get that belt. And then once they're there, everybody's coming after. Everybody. Yeah. I mean, they got a gauntlet, they got a handicap or whatever crazy stuff going on. You know, and once you're at the top of it's like one of my favorite games as a kid is I enjoyed playing King of the Mountain, because we had a parking lot where I live where they'd always take the extra snow there and dump it in the middle of this parking lot, because the only time the parking lot was really busy was at Christmas time. And so all the kids, obviously, when there was a lot of snow, we'd go out there and that's what we'd play. We'd play King of the Mountain and all this other kind of good stuff. So now I'm up here, who's going to knock me down? And sure as shit, there'd be all different directions. You know, everybody'd be trying to knock over whoever was on top of the hill. And that's the exact same thing here. You know, Apple came out and did what they were going to do. We're going to make a phone that doesn't suck. And did they do it? Oh, hell yes. And did they get a little bit complacent? Yeah, I actually think they did. As much as I don't want to say that about the folks at Apple, but I'm pretty sure they got complacent where they were. Samsung came up from behind them and boop, knocked them out. Now, granted, Samsung's got their deal going on with Google and Tizen and all these other projects that they've got working on in the side, but But, you know, it's, and then, you know, the stories of Motorola and all the other developers or manufacturers that we talked about. But the bottom line, you know, is you've got competition is everything, for one. And number two, you've got to stay on your game in this industry because you're only going to be allowed to mess up once or twice before people will forget about you. And that's one thing I caught myself doing the past couple years with Microsoft. Microsoft 6.1, I was user 6.1, I was user 6.5. I've been in the Windows mobile space for a very long time, and they messed up time and time and time again, and I was like, that's it, I'm done. I'm done with Microsoft Windows. And I just said, they put out shit, they're going to continue to put out shit. And I've had a couple, Mr. Old School specifically, persuade me that, you know, maybe you're being a little too hard on it. You know, give them one more shot. So, you know, and that's a different story in itself. But, you know, competition is everything. Competition is what brings it together. Competition is what brings the innovation. And competition is what advances the industry. Bottom line, because if everything was always black and white, everything would always be black and white. Somebody wanted to throw blue in there someday, and guess what? Everybody liked it, right? Variety is what it is all about. And Mr. Rivera, once again, we've blasted that hour mark way out of the water. I want to thank you very much for coming out with me. You know, it's just good conversation. I'm sitting here, I'm sitting here mastering this in front of me, and I'm looking at the sound wave, and it's constantly going, and it's a lot of good stuff in here. I'm going to have a lot of fun editing this. Really quick, hit the folks up again with your plugs and shout-outs.
Of course. I'm Jason Rivera. You can hear me every week on Asked with Riv and Landon, available on logtalkradio.com/CSTC Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. Also, we are available on listentothisshow.com, all one word. You can check that out. All of the other projects that we're a part of will be there. Alternate means of listening to the show. Obviously, people don't always listen live on Blog Talk Radio. You can get us on iTunes, Mixcloud, Podomatic, YouTube, pretty much a variety of formats, whatever's most convenient for you. And of course, I recap wrestling on that show for people who aren't home to watch Monday Night Raw. People who want to know what's going on in NXT, I write various articles about video games, superheroes, comic books, movie reviews. We have a little bit of everything, so be sure to check that out. I've always got something going on every week. And of course, my Twitter account, you can follow me at RealJasonRivera, although please be warned that a lot of the stuff I post is controversial, crass, and a little bit crazy. So that's
absolutely
my little disclaimer.
Absolutely. I haven't gotten on the Twitter machine to follow this up, but how crazy, because I know you go to war with people quite often because of your views on various things. And in the teen scene, and my son brought this up to me, and he kind of laughed at me about it because he knows my stance on this. Justin Bieber.
Oh, God, this idiot.
Cited, what was it, yesterday,
DUI.
I believe? DUI at 19.
You know, they're saying today that there wasn't enough alcohol in the system for him to be legally drunk. But I feel like media is now glossing over the various fact he is not of legal drinking age in the United States of America. Any alcohol in his system whatsoever is grounds for intoxication. His fan base, very disturbing because of the fact a lot of them are young, are agreeing with this, with his behavior. Oh, he can do whatever he wants. He's a teenager. And this is concerning behavior. Now, a lot of people think that I'm just saying this stuff to troll or be an asshole or whatever. The thing is, I'm very vocal about society. I'm very vocal about my rants, about what goes on in the world. And the reason that I see this kid as a problem is because of the fact that when you have 48 million quote-unquote believers or whatever you want to call his fan base, he is an idol to 48 million people. And
yep.
Those people will follow the example. The fact that you have people justifying his behavior, I got a number of retweets because I said that had he killed someone in his vehicle, that his fan base would still be making excuses and trying to justify it and saying that he should be let out of jail for murder. And that's a problem. That's a problem with the youth of the country. That's a problem with society. That's a problem when you let a pop singer's music raise your kids, when you let the technology, as we said last week, raise your kid on what's going on. You know, I think that the problem is, again, this guy needs to be held accountable. He should be nailed to a wall. And that's because of the fact that he is setting the example for everyone else that mindlessly worships him. And the only way to put a stop to that is to make an example of him so that all of the people who follow him and worship him know that this behavior is unacceptable. By slapping him on the wrist, all you're doing is telling these kids it's okay, and that's not fair to them because they don't have $1 billion to get out of jail within 2 hours.
Right. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. bad.
Yeah, any other child, teenager in that situation, 18, 19 years old or younger, it doesn't matter. If you're in a car, you operate a vehicle, you're high on marijuana, you're drinking, you're going to get thrown in jail, and they are not going to let you out in 2 hours. You not have $1 billion. They're going to keep you there. You're going to be a problem to your parents. It's an embarrassment, and that's this is how the real world works. There are consequences, and it scares me that we live in a world where this little, I can't even find the right words to say it without getting very vicious, believes that he's above all consequence in life. And so I rant on stuff like that because of the fact that I don't think that it's right, and I think that it's a big society problem.
It's one of those things where not knowing what your kids are doing, and number two, allowing the wrong people to influence your kids. I mean,
yep.
The whole thing is, Bieber's got money, he knows it, he believes that if he throws enough money at it, he'll get off it. And unfortunately, and shame on us as a society for allowing a kid, I'll say this, a kid, to have that much control over our youth, because it's embarrassing. As a father, I'm embarrassed by this.
You know, I said that, my concern too is that we can't just say that it's kids. Now, Justin Bieber is 19 years old. There are people on social networking, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, whatever you want to say is useful, that are now 18, 19, 21, 22. And they have the same dim-witted, closed-minded, immature stance that the younger base of Bieber's fans have. So now you have these people, and they are legally adults. They are legally considered adults, and these people are going to be out into the world.
Right.
And they believe that there are no consequences for actions.
Exactly.
Think about that and tell me it doesn't make you toss and turn just a little bit at night think about.
It makes me toss and turn a little bit at night. That's just all there is to it. And we got on another tangent again, but it's always good content. I do enjoy having you here, Riv. Thank you very much for hanging out with me 2 weeks back to back, taking time out of your schedule. Once again, folks, this is Trending Mobile Technology. You can find it right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This was episode 71. It's in the books, folks. Feel free to hit me up on email, Google+, or Piper's Tech Talk under the handle Piper the DJ. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.
That was fun. That was fun.
We took another tangent. Oh my goodness. I didn't even.
But it's always fun.
Oh, it is. I love it. I love shows like this just for the simple fact that they go and go and go and go and go. And,